I'm Hillary.
And I'm Sandra. Coming up on the Quick and the Dirty podcast, we are going to talk to a very brave young lady by the name of Jamie, who has a dating website set up to find the perfect guy.
How would you feel if your friends set up a dating website for you? We'll hear from Jamie in a little bit.
The Quick and the Dirty podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
We recorded this episode a couple of weeks ago, and you know, since that time, I've been thinking a lot about the online dating world and how I don't think I could ever exist in it. And I know that you actually met your guy online dating.
Yeah, Chris and I, we met on Tinder, of all places. It was totally unexpected, but it's working out. You know, we're almost 5 years later.
That's crazy. I find that insane that you met on Tinder. And how is Tinder not using the two of you as their profile picture? Right?
Because have you looked at us?
Oh my God, you guys are the cutest. Stop. Stop. They're so cute.
Okay, so Sandra, what's the problem with online dating for you?
For me, I don't like that people are disposable in this world of dating that we live in. I don't like that once I swipe left, you are gone forever, never to be seen or heard from again. And I think that's an unkind thing to do to somebody, but it's even worse if you do it to me, you fuckers. You know what I mean? I don't want that. I hate the idea of someone looking at my picture and based on my hair, the size of my nose, my cheeks, my eye color, my chin, you don't like my face. So fuck you, Sandra. You know, I don't like it. I feel it makes me feel bad about myself. And you don't need to make me feel bad about myself. I'll do it myself. Thank you very much.
For me, it's not so much the visual ability to just write somebody off on their looks. For me, it's that there are so many options that there are unlimited options. And it's like shopping. And yeah, I may kind of like this person, but what if there's something better? That was the problem that I found with online dating. You could have a really great connection with somebody, but because there was always somebody else, it was really, really frustrating. And I feel like Jamie, who you're going to hear about on the podcast, she's going to have that problem because she's got over 300 guys who want to meet her.
Yeah. So she's got to sift through them based on whatever criteria that she chooses. And in some cases, it may be she just doesn't like the look of their shifty fucking eyes. Who knows, right? Because there are some dudes out there, and I happen to know this from personal experience because I have had girlfriends who have online dated and have let me look at their phones and actually done their swiping for them. And I will tell you, it was a lot of fun. It was like a video game, and it was fun doing it for someone else. But I would hate doing it for myself. And I hate that I judged people based on the fact that they didn't know how to take a proper selfie, because I found that most men in the online dating world were embarrassing in that regard.
Yeah, but isn't that a good thing? Like, if you have
kind
a guy
of.
Who's great at taking a selfie, why are you so great at taking a selfie?
Yeah,
like, who are you sending those to?
You know, that's a really good point. That means it almost implies you're a player.
Oh, yeah. When Chris first tried to connect with me on Tinder, I thought his pictures were too cute, and I swiped left, and then we matched again a second time.
So you can reject somebody and they come back again like a little gnat?
Well, I think what happened was I took down my profile. I was dating someone briefly, and then I came back, and there he was again.
Oh, wow. So you have to credit the other dude for not working that out. Anyway, you know what I mean? That didn't work out to meeting this guy. That's crazy that you found each other again.
Yeah, it was just kind of one of those meant to be things. But I think that that's so hard to come by when you're online dating because, like you said, everybody is so disposable. And I think we're so quick to say, oh, I don't connect with this person right off the bat, so they're out. How many times have you met a female friend who you were like, this girl's a bitch, and then she ends up growing on you? And like, I have a ton of friends that I didn't like upon first meeting, but now I'm so tight with.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Hillary. I appreciate it. I know.
I was specifically talking about
you. I kind of knew you were. Anyone who's recently been single might have a story of online dating, because that's just kind of the way it is in 2020. But what if you took matters into your own hands and actually took applications? Today's guest has actually built a website and is looking for a man. Please welcome to the Quick and the Dirty podcast, Jamie Stein. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Jamie, your friends put together this website. It's called datejamie.com. How did you feel about them putting this whole thing together for you?
Well, she's in a relationship. I live in a basement apartment of a married couple with a baby. I think they were just tired of hearing me complain. So they created this website and they showed it to me. And I was like, well, what can I lose at this point? I'm sitting at home, COVID. I haven't been in a relationship for almost 3 years. I was like, hey, what more could go wrong? And then it exploded.
Yeah.
over 20,000 views. I'm at 340-something applicants. I'm actually going on my first Zoom date tonight. So we shall see what happens.
Why would you complain about your life when the people who live upstairs are married and they have a crying baby all the time? Like, to me, I feel better about my life.
You know, I've learned a lot from them. I've also learned a lot about myself and what I can handle at this point. And as much as I'm almost 30 years old and I feel like I should have a baby and be married right now, I don't think I could handle it. So I've learned a lot. But yeah, exactly. It's been great.
I think it all comes down to finding the right person who you can share the load with. And that's what you're working on, right? So tell
exactly.
us a bit more about the website. You can, of course, go to it. It's datejamie, JAMI.com.
Yes. So yeah, my friend put some photos of there on me. She put my likes, which is mostly at this point working out, eating healthy. I've been digging into a lot of books that I've bought over the years. I enjoy being outside. I am a supply teacher. What else is on that website? Silly photos of me. There's one of me in a fake. It looks like I'm in a jet. So everyone thinks I'm really rich and famous, but I'm not. It was a pop-up photo shop in Toronto, and I got a picture taken. So no, I don't own a jet, so I can't take you to far-off places. But yeah, no, the website, like, it's funny, Sam, she kind of just created it. Like, she was like, it's no big deal. Like, it just took me, like, a couple hours. And I was like, this could find my husband. Like, this is more than a big, like, this is a big deal to me. So yeah, and there's a quote from my mom on there about how she made a quilt that is better than when she conceived me. I'm a close second to her quilt. My mom died laughing. She thought it was the most hilarious thing. It's not an actual quote from her, but she died laughing. She's like, well, I guess I better go buy a quilt and start quilting for these men that think they're getting quilts from me. I was like, yeah, mom, whatever will help.
Can I just say something about your website, Jamie? You are so fucking cute. Like, you're just so adorable. Every picture of you is, you're laughing, you're having a good time. Why can't you fucking find a dude? Look at you. You're amazing. You look amazing.
Oh, thanks, Sandra. That's so nice. My mom's like, is it you that's the problem? Like, what's going on? I'm joking.
Thanks again, mom.
Right? She probably thinks that, but hasn't actually said that to me. I don't know. You know, I've been in 3 serious relationships. I've learned a lot from each of them. They've all been very different. I've lived with one of them. Like, I feel like I've done everything that you're supposed to do, but nothing's ever clicked. There's always been something. And like, I have divorced parents. I have divorced grandparents. I appreciate things maybe a little bit more than some people, because I know that things can go wrong and you shouldn't settle, and like, you'll find someone. Like, everyone in my family is now with people that they think they're meant to be with. So, you know, they've waited their turn and they've gone through the struggles, and I've learned a lot from them. So I feel like I'm not going to settle, and I'm not just going to go with somebody who I think will work. Like, I want somebody that will work, and like, yes, it's not going to be perfect. I'm willing to get, you know, my feet wet and get dirty and do all those things and like work at it. But like, I just really want to find someone, and I don't want to make the wrong decision and then bring kids into it. And I know what it's like to be with divorced parents, and it's not easy. So I'm going to try my damnedest not to do that to them.
So you have been basically single for the past 3 years, like no serious relationships. I'm assuming you've dated. What is it that you're waiting for? Like, what's the missing piece why you haven't invested in somebody for a long-term relationship?
That's a great question. I don't know. For me, from what I found, from the two guys that I have dated that I thought would get me somewhere, they have said, "You're great. You're amazing. I'm just not ready." So I don't really know what that means. I'm not a guy. I have no idea what that means.
I do, but I will. I'll get to that in a second, but continue.
I'm not down to get married right away. I want to be with somebody and, you know, go through things with them. And then if we feel like we want to get married, we get married. And if we don't want to get married, that's also fine. I don't feel like I have to get married at this point. I want to have kids, yes, not right now. So I don't know if those are the two biggest things that they say they're not ready for at this point. Like, I don't know what.
But you're also saying you're not ready. So, like, where are they feeling this pressure from?
I don't know. Like, I also had one guy say, like, "Oh, you're a woman. You want to get married. You want to have babies. Like, I know it's what you want. Like, you have your vagina clock ticking, blah, 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 blah. Like, you need to do that."
He sounded like a keeper.
Yeah. I still talk to him. I still talk to him, but who knows? But, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it is really hard. Like, I don't know what it is that, you know, a lot of my friends are in serious relationships and they've been in serious relationships for a long time. And I don't know what happens behind closed doors. Like, I don't know if there's a struggle. I don't know if they're settling. I don't know if I don't know what it is. Like, honestly, I've sat down and really thought about it. Now, with me personally, I know when I start dating, I dive right in. Like, I'm ready. I'm like, let's do everything. Let's go out. Let's find all, like, let's tell each other everything. Like, I know I dive in. And I know that that could be scary. And I've also learned to, like, step back and take it slow. So I've learned
I feel like you actually hit on something there. You said that, you know, are these guys ready to get serious? Are they ready to start a family? You're probably dating guys in your age group. You're 29 years old. When I was in my 20s, which was a fucking long time ago, there wasn't one dude that was like, there are not too many dudes that want to start a family and get super serious right away. It's so scary. Like, it's so scary. And, you know, on the flip side of that, I met my husband when I was 24. And if I could go back and change that, I totally would. Because I could have been with so many more dudes. You
know what I mean? Sandra could have had so much more D.
Exactly. I could have had so much more D and I got cut off early. You're 29 years old. And of course, you're speaking to a woman who's had, you know, a world of, I'm just a fuck ton older than both of you. So, especially you, Jamie, but honestly, I look at you and you say you're 29 years old and of course you're ready for a relationship, but if I could go back in time, I wouldn't have had babies until I was like 35, 38, right? 39. I wouldn't have gotten married before I was 35. You're in such a beautiful position and you can just take your time. You got lots of runway in front of you.
You think that though, but I come at it from a different point of view. So I am a little bit younger than Sandra, but I'm also just settled down with my significant other who I believe to be the one. And like, it's not out of the scope of possibility that we could have a baby, but he has a vasectomy, so that's out.
Well, there it is, Hillary. That pretty much does seal the deal.
Well, it's reversible, as I keep reminding him. But it's like my runway ran out. And so I wish that I had made a stupid mistake early and then found him later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my mom had me at 21 years old by herself, and she raised me, and you know, I'm so proud of her and everything that she's accomplished, and I'm so proud of the person that she created and who I am and the influence she's had in my life. And there's also that idea where even if I don't meet someone, I can still have a child by myself. Like, I don't need someone. But my mom's also expressed how hard it is to be a single mom. So, like, that's another thing, is that I would like to share those experiences with someone and not on my own. But there's also that in the back of my head that I don't need someone to have a child. But, again, who knows where I'll go? And, like, my mom and my grandma say the same thing. They're like, Jamie, take your time. You have so much more to figure out. Like, who you are now will be different in 5 years. Like, who I was 5 years ago is so different from who I am now. So, like, so much can change over time. And I'm totally okay with that change. So if I meet someone now, I might not, you know, grow more. I might stay the same way. So I don't know. It's very hard.
Can we talk about the dudes that have been applying to be your boyfriend? Because you say you've had over 300 applications.
Yeah.
Have they been predominantly good applications, or are there a lot of duds in there?
I would say 50-50.
So, okay. And what do you consider
that,
to be?
You know what? For someone who's online dated, that's not bad ratio.
No, it's not. Well, so the person, my friend Sam, who made the website, she's very funny. Like, so funny that when you spend 45 minutes with her, your stomach hurts because you're laughing so much. And so she wanted to create something on the website that would bring humor, that would start a conversation, that would make people laugh. So under my fear category of the website, it says that I have a fear of goats. That's it. Nothing else, just the word goats. And I was like, Sam, I'm not afraid of goats. She's like, yeah, but like that will get people laughing. So the website has a category that says, are you human? Are you a male human? Are you female? Or are you a goat? And so the whole website kind of has a goat thing that applies in the application. So about 25% of my applicants said they were goats and then literally filled out the rest of the application saying, like, they like to walk on the grass and eat the hay and, like.
So I love that you're also, like, this website is kind of serious because it could be the way you meet your spouse, but you're living a lie through it.
Exactly. So really, like, aren't we all lying about something on our Tinder profile or our Bumble or our whatever there is these days? Like, I feel like there's always something that's not true.
That's true.
Or you post a photo that's 10 years old, but you really look exactly, your face looks the same, but your body doesn't, you know, like there's always that concern. Like, I honestly, I'm like, okay, like this applicant looks great and their, you know, social media looks awesome, but like I could meet them and they might not be anything like their application. So at this point, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, so about 25% of my applicants were goats. And then 25% of them, like, obviously, they're probably in the same boat as me. But they haven't grown that confidence yet that allows themselves to fill out that application with pride. Like, there was something lacking. So, and, like, that takes time, you know? Like, I understand that. Like, I could stand in front of a room 10 years ago and say that, oh, I'm all right, I'm okay. But now I'm like, I'm great, I'm awesome. Like, that takes time to get there. And I'm sure I still have more room to grow, and, like, so do those people. And, like, when I sent them an email back, I said, your application was great, just not great for me. So, like, it was really hard to deny those people because I understand that struggle of being rejected, and it's not fun. So it was really hard to, like, reject people.
You know what it sounds like to me when you say that the application just felt like there was something lacking? It sounds to me like there were a lot of boys in there, not a lot of men.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're 29. Yeah. You need a man, not a boy.
And you know what? Age, I found, too, in this whole, like, dating since I was 18, like, age also doesn't mean anything. I've gone on dates with guys that are, like, 35 and, like, have their lives together and have a house and have a nice car, but they are very immature and, like, would rather see a naked photo of me than, like, say, hey, how's it going? So it's like age also, I've learned over time, doesn't mean much.
So let's talk about the good applications. What does a good application look like to you?
I think the one question that really helped me was, like, what are you most proud of? So if some people are like, oh, you know, that I did, I can't even think of a not so great answer. But there was one applicant who said, I bought my parents a house because they've rented their whole entire lives. And I was like, what? Like, you bought your parents a house? Like, holy crap. Like, that's
first
amazing.
Of all, you have money for two houses. Second of all, you're nice. What?
Right. And then there was another one who was like, I'm the first person in my family to go to university. And like, that's what I'm most proud of. And like, I'm the first person in my family to go to university. So I can understand that, like, that is the most exciting thing. And like, I fully understand that. So that was one question that really, like, got me. Also, I'm somebody who likes to be active, like working out, going outside, you know, going downtown, going for hikes, traveling the world. Thanks, COVID, for ruining all those things. But I like to do all those things. So if they also said that they work out and they like to go outside and they like to go camping and hiking and they've been to certain places in the world, we can have a conversation past, you know, how's it going? Where were you born? Like, the basic questions, we can talk more about, okay, where have you traveled to? Like, oh, what was your favorite place? Like, oh, you work out. Like, I've also ran my first 10K recently. So, like, if they run, we can run together. So I find, like, hobbies are the things that intrigue me most now, whereas before...
Do you think you have to have the same hobbies, though, or as long as they're passionate about something?
Passionate about something. Like, I'm also an advocate, like, I'm going to go have a girls' night with my girls and go hang out. So, like, please find things that you can also do, too. We don't have to spend every waking moment together, which in my last relationships I have. I felt like I needed to consume myself with them. And then I said, bye, friends. I'll see you never. So, like, right. I've learned that I need to have my own life, and then we can have our lives together. And if we have things that we have in common, that's great. And if we don't have things, like if we have other things that aren't in common, cool, I can try something new. Like, I can learn from them as well.
You know, it sounds like you're a woman who really kind of knows who she is and you know what you're looking for. But in knowing all of those things as clearly as you know them, do you think it might hurt you in finding a partner because you have such a clear checklist? You know, sometimes the biggest box in a relationship to me is the thing that is undefinable. You can't really describe it. It's, you click, there's a connection there. That's not a check box, right? So do you think it hurts you that you are so specific in your needs?
Probably. I would assume so. Like, I don't know. I always ask my friends and my family members, I'm like, how did you know? And they're like, I just knew. It just happened. And I was like, that's not an answer that I can find. Like, I can't go and find that. And they're like, they're like, you just haven't found it. So I'm like, okay. So that's what I'm assuming is, like, what you're saying is that, like, I can't know until it's there.
Right.
And I know that I'm picky and I know that I'm stubborn and I know that I'm independent and I'm strong and I'm happy that I'm all those things, but I'm sure sometimes they kick me in the butt because of that.
For sure, but looking at my relationship, I would say that I knew because he kicked my ass, but at the same time felt comfortable. Like, he felt like home.
Yeah.
And I feel like eventually you're going to find somebody that feels like home for you.
Yeah. I hope so.
Well, it sounds like here's the thing. Because again, let me, as the wise, I was going to say the wise mom, but we'll call me the wise older sister. Okay. Can we do that?
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Wise older sister.
Even though the math has shown me that I'm basically the same age as your mom, Jamie, fuck, but shit. But you know what? It's funny. I've noticed about I do have millennial friends who are in their 20s and, I've always noticed that there's always sort of like such a rush to couple, you know, and I don't know if it's human nature or we've been socialized like that. I'm still not sure, but I think it's just we've been socialized to think that we aren't valid as women until we've coupled up with somebody and then built a life with them. What's so wrong about not doing that? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I totally agree. Like, I'm at this point where I'm like, I don't need to get married. You know, I don't need to do it in the order that everyone says to do it in. Like, you're supposed to meet each other and then you're supposed to get married and buy a house and have a baby and do all these things and checkmark all these boxes. And I'm like, I don't want to do it that way. Like, why do I have to do it the way everyone else is doing it? And, like, I used to remember when I had my first boyfriend at 18 and I lost my virginity on prom night. And I was like, I'm doing it right. And, like, we're going to school and we're going to get married.
Yeah, I'm a John Hughes movie. Yes.
I'm exactly. only laughing because I am the exact same.
Yeah, and his name was Ryan. So I was like, I am pretty in pink. Like, I am 16 candles. This is my life. And then we broke up. And where is he now? He is married in a house with two dogs, living happily ever after. And I was at his wedding, and I gave a speech, and I told him how happy I was that, like, we didn't work out because look where you are now. And, like, I'm so happy that we broke up. And I couldn't be happier for him, but I'm like, man, oh man, I was gonna marry you, and I was gonna do we were gonna go back and live in Muskoka, and I was gonna be a teacher, and he was gonna run his parents' store, and we're nowhere near that. So I'm happy.
And aren't you excited that that's the case?
Yes, I'm very happy. And like my second relationship, we met in university, and I was like, he's the one, and like we're gonna be together forever. And, you know, like, he went to England to teach, and I said, I can come with you. And he's like, no, you stay here. And I was like, okay. And we did long distance. And then that long distance ended in him cheating on me, which is fine. Obviously, I've grown from it. And now he's married with a baby. So, you know, I don't know where I would be if I just decided to do exactly what I was supposed to do, like what our roles are.
You'd be fucking miserable. That's what you'd be very miserable right now.
Exactly. And like, what, 2 days ago, the United States had their first female vice president. Like, we women are changing the way things are. And I couldn't be more happy to be where I am. And like, being a supply teacher and like being in classrooms with young girls, like, I wanted to show them on the regular that they don't have to do what they think women have to do. Like, they can be single, they can work, they can do all of these things. And I wanted to be the ones to show them that they don't have to do the way, they don't have to do what they see on TV and read in books. They can do
something
else.
Such a juxtaposition, because on one hand, you're like, I'm an independent woman, I don't need love.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, there is still part of you that like really wants this to happen. And you're like, this is the website I could meet my husband on.
Right. It's hard. And I think it comes to, there are moments where I'm sitting at home on the couch, reading a book. And I look up and I think, man, I really wish there was someone on this couch that would also be reading a book or playing a video game or whatever it is that they're doing. And we can just look at each other and be like, hey, and then I can just continue reading my book.
Honestly, it's called a dog. Get a dog.
Right?
But you know, what I love, Jamie, at the same time, like Hillary's right. There's a real juxtaposition in you being this independent woman, but you still have a website where you're looking for a man. But right. You have the balls. This is what I love, is that most women would not want that website, datejamie.com. But there's a fierceness to you. There's chutzpah there, a lot of it. To do that, you know, it's like, this is who I am. This is what I want. And you're either digging it or you're not.
It's kind of interesting because you're basically saying, prove to me you're worth my time.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, that's exactly it. And like, I'm at like, when it comes to that too, it's like, I know that there's, I don't know science. That's why I didn't take it. But like, you know, people are like, there's a ticking time bomb in your body. And I'm like, okay, cool. But here's the thing. I'm like, okay, I'm 29. I'm going to meet someone who knows when. And I want to spend quality time with them. And in a couple of years, if we decide to get married, cool. And then after that, I want to spend married life with them, you know, we'll do whatever it is we're supposed to do, whatever that is. I don't know if there is anything. And then maybe we'll have a kid if we choose to have one. So then that's like, you know, that's 5 to 10 years worth of stuff right there, possibly. So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to be like 40 when I have a kid. Can I have a kid? I don't know. So it's like, that's kind of like where I'm at. I don't want to jump in and be like, okay, I'm going on a date tonight with this guy. In like 6 months, we should move in. Oh, we're going to get married. Oh, and like, then it all goes down into 2 years. Like, I don't want that. I want to take my time. But again, if it feels right, it feels right. But I don't know. I don't know when that moment of like, oh, this is it. This is what everyone's talking about. But could happen
do you ever think that maybe that moment never really happens for anybody? And that things just kind of happen and you just got to go with it. Like, it's, we don't live in a Disney world and those moments are imperfect. Like, your mom had you on her own. A lot of people get pregnant and then get married and maybe you just got to jump in.
Yeah. I don't know. And then, like, there's also guys that have applied that have kids.
Okay.
And, like,
nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. I'm not against that at all, especially because, you know, maybe they were in that whole, oh, God, I have to get married and have a kid. And, you know, at, like, they're 30, 35 years old. So maybe they got married when they were 24 and, like, had a kid. So that kid could be, like, anywhere between 5 and 10 years old.
So oh, yeah. I got two stepkids.
Yeah. So, and, like, my mom married a man with two kids. And, like, I grew up with step siblings. So, like, I know what that's like. And so I'm not against it whatsoever. So I do like kids. I love them. My career is wrapped around kids. Some teachers don't want kids at all, but they love being a teacher. But for me, I loved being a teacher because I loved kids.
Aw, so, that's so sweet.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I'm not afraid of kids. I want kids. So if they have kids, that's great. But then I have to think about, what if the kid doesn't like me? That's what I think about.
You know what you think? You know what, Jamie? You think too much. I mean that in the nicest possible way. But have you ever thought that you just overthink it too much?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Welcome to why my friends are like, Jamie, you need to calm the fuck down. Yeah. And I was like, I know.
Yeah.
No, it's,
so you have this website, but I just want to ask you another question because you told us about the relationships that you've had. Have you ever done some serious online dating, and have you met any guy who's important, or, you know, like the one, or not the one, but like you said, you had three major relationships or two?
I've had three. So my third one I found online.
Online. Okay. So what in general, what has online dating been like for you?
For me personally, like, I enjoyed it in the beginning. I liked that I could swipe, and I liked that I could creep on their profiles, and I liked that we would have conversations. And, like, if I didn't like them, I could just be like, sorry. I never ghosted anyone. I never did that because I thought that was so mean. I never understood that concept. And so, like, it was just so much easier because you weren't face to face. And then I've had guys that would, like, call me up right away. And, like, we would just talk on the phone for weeks. And then we would meet each other. And then I had guys that I would meet with right away. And, like, I thought it was great. And then a couple of days later, they were like, sorry, not interested. And I would take that to heart too much. But now I'm not like that. And so I understand that when you meet somebody, you just don't click. And that's okay. So I've enjoyed the online dating world. I met my third boyfriend on, what did we meet on? Plenty of Fish at that time. That was like 4 or 5 years ago almost. And so we hit it off right away. And so we hit it off, and 6 months later we moved in together, and, like, he had a dog, and, like, everything was great. And then things changed and stuff happened and it just didn't work out, and I moved out. And then I met another guy where we would message each other for hours and hours. And then we first met up, he picked me up, and, like, he took me to this, like, beautiful lake and the stars, and we sat in the car and talked for 6 hours. And, like, I was like, wow, this is so great. This guy and I click so well. And then that's when he was like months later, he's like, it's not you, it's me. And I was like, okay, cool. But, like, so I've had good times and I've had bad times. I also was I was dating this guy a couple years ago, and I met his mom, I met his dad, I met his brother. We spent New Year's Eve together. We spent Valentine's Day and my birthday, and, like, everything was great. And he called me up one morning and he's like, I'm going to come over today. I was like, yeah, sure. I should be home by this time. He's like, okay, I'm on my way. I'm just going to stop at my brother's. And I was like, okay, cool. And I didn't hear from him. And I called him up and he didn't answer. And I looked online, and he blocked me from all social media. And then
Holy shit, what?
Yeah, I texted him, and I'm like, what's going on? He's like, sorry, I'm just not interested. And that was it.
After how long were you dating?
we met in October, and it was February, the end of February.
Oh, what a...
Do you know what that is? That's he messed up and couldn't own it. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Holy shit.
I met the mom, the dad, New Year's, like, everything was great. So even, like, those things, I was like, wow, like, I'm just, like, in his family. Like, this is great. His mom bought me a Christmas gift. His dad bought me a birthday gift. I was like, what is happening? Like, this is so crazy. And then, yeah, it ended. Like, I cried. And then 2 days later, I went to Europe for 10 days, and I came back, and I was like, all right, I'm cool again. Like, I'm great. And so then I got back in the dating world again. But it's hard. It's really hard. Like, I took advantage of university where I was meeting people all the time and going to bars and having one night stands and friends with benefits, and like things were great. And then you leave university and then you start working and you're like, oh God, like I can't meet anyone. And like, I don't want to go to the bars anymore. I don't want to look at drunk girls and stupid stuff like that again. Like, I don't want to do that anymore.
I don't want to be the drunk girl. That's the other
problem.
Oh, God,
a hangover now? My 19-year-old self is laughing at me the way I get a hangover now. I'm like, oh, God. And so it's like, and then I go to the gym and I work out and I'm just like hoping a guy will come up to me and be like, oh, yeah, can I be your spotter? And I'm like, yeah. And then like, that's not happening. And then I join the running room and I meet a bunch of people, but they're all like double my age and they call me like little sunshine and they're like this little girl. And I'm like, oh, great, not going to meet anyone here.
Little sunshine. Oh, great. Thanks.
I've given up. I was like, I don't want to do any dating. Like, if I don't know him, I'm never going to meet him at this point. I don't want to talk to anyone. And then COVID. And then I was like, COVID shows up. And I'm like, I don't want a guy that's just sitting in his apartment just being like, I have nothing better to do. I guess I'll talk to this girl. Like, I don't want that either.
Well, you know how I think it was actually a guest we had on this podcast a long time ago. Remember, Hillary, when we had on... Oh, it's going to kill me. I forget his name now. I've actually worked with the guy, but we talked to a millennial man about dating, and he kind of described dating like a video game almost. Like you have
and
this...
then it was like, when it became too much work, he was out.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't understand why I'll never find a woman, but he'll only put in so much effort.
Right. He was like, I want the girlfriend without having to put in the time to get the girlfriend. It's like, you're fucked. And I don't think.
I feel that.
Yes.
I feel that, but it doesn't work.
They're lazy. People are just lazy, and they want, I think most people want what you want. You want to find someone who knows you so well, who you can sit on the couch with and read a book with in silence and just go and travel with that person. But it is a lot of work to find them. And this
and
guy,
to get to know somebody. Yes. Like, people don't realize that takes time.
I grew up watching Sex in the City, and like Charlotte speaks to me when she's like, I'm exhausted. Where is he? And I'm like, I feel her. Like, where the heck is
you
my
are
man?
So a Charlotte, by the way.
Yeah, I know. That you're not the first one to tell me that.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. So, you know, if you were like not loving your whole dating life and then COVID, it's such a risk to put yourself out there the way you have and accept applications from randos. And now you have to do a full application process where you have to go through, if you've received over 300 applications, half of them are duds. That means you've got over 150 that aren't duds. How do you go through that and decide who you actually want to meet?
Oh, it was a frustrating week. I was like, I've went through them all. I scrolled through them. I read their answers. I looked at their social medias. I went through them all, and I had to stop for a day because I was like, am I being too critical? Am I using my brain too much? Like, you guys think I think too much. And I thought back to myself. I'm like, am I looking at them and judging them for things that I shouldn't be? Like, it's so hard. Like, we live in such a judgmental society where, like, people just walk down the street and look someone at them and they think they know everything about them just based on what they look like. And it's so sad and it's so depressing. And it's like, even me, I'll go in my closet and be like, okay, I'm going to the grocery store. Oh no, I can't for that. Like, it's horrible what we do to each other and to ourselves. And it was really hard for me to look at these applications and think like, is this the one? For me personally, the things I was looking at most is that one, did I laugh at any point reading that application? Like, did they get me going? That was one thing. So if I laughed, I was like, okay, this one's good. And then I looked at, like, what they do for hobbies. And I looked at, you know, what they're most proud of. And then I also looked at, like, what they would do for a first date. You know, I'm like, oh, like, you're going to think of something different. Like, so many times I've done the whole, let's meet at a restaurant and get some apps and get some drinks. That's great. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But if you were like, yeah, let's go to an escape room, or let's go for, like, pre-COVID, like what they would say.
I'm just saying, Jamie, 150 applicants, you could not pay for dinner for almost half a year.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to, here, let me get my papers out here and look at what I wrote down for these people. Okay. Like, I would say they had cute comments. They wanted, and then another one was that if they had something there and I wanted to know more about it, I was like, oh, like, that means I want to have a conversation with them. No, it's so, like, I this happened, like, over a week ago where I did this. So I'm trying to think of all the things. But honestly, if they made me smile, they made me laugh, then I would put them in the yes category. There were some in the maybe categories, too, where I was like, okay, like, I had 38 yeses by the time I was done and about 40-something maybes. And not that I was ever gonna, like, I was like, what if these 38 yeses fail? There's always these maybes. So I can always go to them next. But I was like, 38 yeses is enough for me right now. So we'll just start with that. But yeah, it was mostly, I find, like, one thing with me personally is that, like, I struggle with a healthy, active lifestyle. Like, I was overweight as a kid. I was not active. I didn't like who I looked at in the mirror. Like, I had an eating disorder. There was so many things that happened to me as a teenage girl and in my early 20s that, like, I struggle. And, like, so eating healthy and working out and really taking care of my body is super important to me. And the relationships that I've been in, I've compromised that. So I won't work out or I won't take care of my body and I'm not sleeping properly. So I've realized that maybe I do need somebody who I'm with that also enjoys doing those things to push me and to also keep me going and, like, somebody I can do those things with. So, like, that was a big deal for me. And, like, I don't know if that's a bad thing or not. Like, if I should automatically say no to somebody because they sit on the couch and they enjoy video games. Like, I don't know. But, like,
well,
that was something.
I don't think you're wrong about that. I think that's a good, you know, if that's really, like, a deal breaker for you, you know, that you want to be able to go on hikes, like you said, and do whatever active things that you do, runny things.
Yeah, exactly. And, like,
you know.
Yeah, and, like, I come from a family that has depression that runs through their veins. And so, like, I need somebody who's going to make me laugh. And, like, when I want to sit and do absolutely nothing, if they want to do that with me, cool. But also they'll be able to be like, no, Jamie, like, let's do something today. Like, I don't know. I feel like I look at my past relationships and the things that didn't work out. I maybe am going to try to find somebody that enjoys to do those things that didn't work out the previous times. Is that wrong? I don't know at this point. I'm just taking what went wrong and trying to improve it and really just trying to focus on doing what makes me feel good.
But that leads to another question. Are you willing to invest in somebody who can grow into the relationship, or do you want them to come pre-trained? Like, are you looking for these things out of the gate or somebody who's willing to give them a go?
Both. But I also realize you can't change someone. And I've been in relationships where I thought I could. And I know you can't.
Oh, it's a classic. We all think we can change people. Yeah, you can't. People
and
don't
so
change.
Exactly. So if they're like, I will never go for a hike. I will never go outside. I will never go with you and do these things. I have to think about, well, do they have all these other things that I want? And, like, I'll just find a friend who will go and do those things with me. sure. But I don't know. Like, there's no answers for these things. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm probably going to go on a couple dates with somebody and, like, think they're great, and maybe they won't be. And so I don't want to be scared anymore. I think I was scared before that I had to push it to the absolute max and, like, get everything out of them. And if it doesn't work out, like, I'm going to keep trying harder. But, like, I need to realize, like, if it's not going to work out, I can't change that.
You can't. And, you know, I know you've got a lot of people to date now and a lot of work to do. And you're going to be very busy during the tail end of your pandemic. Can we, like, check in with you in, like, a year and see how it's all going? Because I'd like to circle back and see how the whole process worked out, because this is just the start of it. But, like, Hillary, don't you want to know how this ends? I want to know how this ends.
I almost want to do another podcast in, say, a couple of months, where we get some stories about some dates.
Oh, yeah. I'll check in a couple of months. Perfect. Okay.
And then say you find love the years later one, like full bachelorette style.
Right.
So, Jamie, here's what we're going to do. We'll leave it here, and then we'll pick up in a couple of months or whatever and see how it's going with you. The website is datejamie.com. That's with an I, Jamie with an I. So you might get a couple of more applications. Sorry, Jamie.
That's okay.
Well, you know, it's been really great talking to you, and we wish you nothing but the best.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on Air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.